Like a thief in the night, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast widely known for its generosity. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from normalcy, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It makes me sleepy just to say the title of this podcast. I hope you all be able to stay awake for the duration. We are here to enjoy the subject of Medicare in all of its facets, all of its permutations. Basically, to send the message to everyone out there in podcast land that the subject of Medicare doesn't have to be burdensome, doesn't have to be a complete snooze fest, that those people who are approaching Medicare have a few decisions to make, but once they're made, that their transition from Obamacare is going to be pleasant. For the most part, it's going to give them a better protection against medical bills and less costly protection. So all in all, for most people, Medicare is going to be an improvement over the prior to age 65 medical coverage that they have from employers or whatever. The only thing is the taxpayers are footing the bill. So if we can get past that little unfortunate fact that it's a drain on the U.S. economy, then everybody who is involved in Medicare, everybody who's enrolled and who benefits from Medicare is actually in a better place right now. Now, you are here because I have written a book every year for, I think, the last 4 years called Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. That book's available on Amazon in paperback format, Kindle format, or ebook format, and Audible. In other words, you may listen to these dulcet tones read you my book if that's your preference. And it's pretty darned inexpensive to buy a Medicare guide that will cost you probably an hour of your time to read, give or take, and that will clarify many of the confusing aspects of people approaching Medicare, the questions that people come up with. So for many of the feedback correspondence, most of the feedback correspondence I get is positive. People are very interested in the subject, but confused. When they finish the book, they're interested in the subject and not confused for the most part. So I'm hoping that that will hold true for you. Now, helping me bring this Medicare knowledge and fun and frivolity to the podcast world is my friend, Randy Carson. He's on the other side of the screen, twisting knobs and sliding slides and making this whole thing sound a lot better than it otherwise would. Hello, Randy. How are you?
Doug, it's good to see you. You look particularly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today.
I don't know if that's good. Bushy-tailed, you know, bright-eyed is one thing, but bushy-tailed is quite something else. I'm not sure that's good.
Well, in my world, it's always good.
Oh, so I was going to lord it over you. I was going to say, hey, Mary's been telling me that every day in Arizona lately, it's been freezing cold. And so I was going to say, all right, listen, Illinois is like a tropical paradise. And then it was this morning, it was rainy and cloudy and cold and everything. And so the sun came out a while ago and I went and looked at the thermometer, and I believe it's still colder here than it is in your frigid Arizona.
Well, we have finally, just as of this moment, we have clicked over 70 degrees. I know that that sounds like a wonderful day in the neighborhood, but out here in Arizona, I've got my mucklucks on.
That's weather for bundling up. And, yeah. Right now in Illinois, it's 66, and people in Illinois are still, frivolously, they're dancing around the maypole and singing songs at 66 degrees because they know what's coming down the pike in a couple of months. It's going to
yeah,
be
miserable. It is really interesting about how people's environment and what they get used to is so different. I had it early on when we moved out here to Arizona 20 years ago. A good friend of ours drove a U-Haul out here to bring some stuff that I didn't want to trust to the movers.
Especially those movers I heard about that showed up at your house.
Yeah, you don't want any of them anymore. So he's driving out here and he wants to stay for a few days. I said, sure, his name's Andre. So Andre's staying out here. And I go, yeah, you can stay as long as you want. I don't care. And I get up the next morning and I impress upon him that I have alarm systems all over this place. Okay, it's like Fort Knox. Only because I'm a technician and I love the stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that I have anything that decidingly interesting to protect, but boy, now I use it keeping away from the Medicare Advantage salesman. But
sure.
Anyway, back then, I impressed upon Andre to not go out without me, you know, undoing all the alarms. He's sitting, I get up like at 8 in the morning, and obviously he's a couple hours ahead because being back from the Midwest. He's sitting there like a little kid on the couch in his swim trunks and a towel waiting for me to let him out so he can go swimming. And I wouldn't, the temperature of this water was like, you know, 80 degrees below zero in my world.
Sure, he's out there all night. It evaporated.
Yeah. He's out there like a dolphin, you know, swimming around. Oh, this is great. I go, okay, well, I'm glad you're having fun, Andre.
Yeah. Oh, I've had the same experience. When I used to come out here when I was a little kid in January or February, I basically lived in the swimming pool at the resort, the Dude Ranch we stayed at. And I think I might have been the only one in the water except for other refugees from the frozen north.
But yeah.
It is all what you are used to and what you're acclimated to. If you fly to Phoenix in the middle of summer and step off an airplane, you'll just drop dead. I mean, it will kill you.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting because when I was interviewing for my job out here 20 years ago, that exact scenario happened, Doug. I flew in from Omaha, got off the plane. It was about 4,000 degrees on the tarmac. And I'm going, have I just stepped onto the surface of the sun or what's happening here?
A friend of mine in 06 flew out to pick up a classic car that he had bought, a 55 Chevy station wagon. And so he got off the airplane and of course, everything's air conditioned in the airport until you get to the actual curb. And so just the distance walking from the door to my 67 GTO was enough to make him just a raving lunatic. And the whole time, all the way back to my house, he's going, what the hell is wrong with you? What? My God, why would anybody want to live here? And that went on for 2 or 3 days. And then he and I went down to, not Gila Bend, it's where the eight takes off from the 10.
Casa
Grande.
Yeah.
And there's a junkyard there that specializes in exactly his car, 55, 56, 57 Chevrolets, full of them, acres and acres and acres. We went down there and we were in my Blazer. We got out of the car and of course it was like 115 that day. And the sun was beating down and he was going, oh my God, what kind of stupid people live here and stuff. All it took him was like 10 minutes in the junkyard when he saw the display of non-rusted 55 Chevys and they had the 57s in a different row and the 56s. He never said another syllable about Arizona. He didn't praise Arizona, but he never said one negative thing after that. And in fact, after working in the junkyard, finding parts that he could use and getting the junkyard employees to help us pull the parts off of cars and stuff, it involved a lot of waiting around and driving around in golf carts and stuff, getting tools. I finally said, I can't stand this anymore. I'm going back to the car where they have air conditioning. And I could have gone to the junkyard office, but it had about 6 swamp boxes, swamp coolers.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you go in there from being really hot, all of a sudden you break out in a massive sweat. I wanted real air conditioning. So here's the guy who loves Arizona sitting in the car like a little girl, you know, with the air conditioning on. And then it started blowing warm air. The air conditioning iced up. I had to take it out on the road and drive it back and forth. And meanwhile, my friend is working like a dog, taking parts off of cars in the junkyard and happy as a clam. So it's all in your head. It's all what you're used to. It's all in your mindset, I think.
No. Sweating like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Oh,
there you go. There you go. Okay. Well, I've got an article here that may or may not be of interest. When I picked this out, I didn't proofread it. As regular listeners to our podcast know, I rarely actually proofread anything that I'm going to talk about. But I do have an article that I think might be entertaining. It's called, the title of it is, "More Than Half of All People on Medicare Do Not Compare Their Coverage Options Annually." Now, the reason I think this is going to be interesting is because it will not apply ever to Medicare supplement plans. And Medicare supplement plans are the plans that I recommend and that I sell to my clients because they're dependable. They don't change. They don't have big holes. They don't lose their doctors. And they offer unlimited freedom of choice. And whereas Medicare Advantage plans, the other type of plans, are replete with weak points and frightening changes that bring unpleasant surprises to people. So you don't ever have to compare your coverage options annually with a Medicare supplement plan, but with a Medicare Advantage plan, you'd better keep an eagle eye out so they don't sneak something past you. So here's this article. It's written by Meredith Freed and Wyatt Koma, K-O-M-A, just exactly a year ago. In 2 weeks, it will have been exactly 1 year since this article came out. So it goes on to say, each year, people with Medicare have the opportunity to review their coverage options and change plans during the open enrollment period. And that's not the name of it. The name is the annual election period. So October 15th to December 7th is the annual election period. Medicare beneficiaries with traditional Medicare can compare and switch Medicare Part D standalone drug plans, or they can join a Medicare Advantage plan. While enrollees in Medicare Advantage plans can compare and switch Medicare Advantage plans or elect coverage under traditional Medicare instead. For 2021, the average Medicare beneficiaries can choose among 33 Medicare Advantage plans and 30 Part D standalone prescription drug plans. Medicare Advantage and Part D plans vary significantly from each other in terms of costs and coverage. Plans often change from 1 year to the next. See, there is one pitfall of a Medicare Advantage plan. Plans often change from 1 year to the next, which could lead to unexpected and avoidable costs for beneficiaries who do not review their options annually. Plan changes can also lead to disruptions for beneficiaries in Medicare Advantage plans if their doctors do not remain in the plan's network from 1 year to the next, or if their drug plan no longer covers one of their medications, or if it makes a change in their pharmacy network or increases costs for covered drugs. Further, beneficiaries' healthcare needs, including the list of drugs they take, can change from 1 year to the next, making it even more important to compare coverage options annually, as the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, recommends. Well, I take CMS recommendations with a grain of salt, because that is one government agency that's too stupid to properly spell their acronym. It is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but they spell it CMS. They forgot the other M. So that's irritating right there. So previous analysis shows that only a small share of Medicare beneficiaries voluntarily switch plans. This stickiness may indicate that beneficiaries are satisfied with their current coverage, but it may also indicate that many people on Medicare find it difficult to compare plans, and they're unaware of the open enrollment period or not confident in their ability to select a better plan. This analysis builds on previous work by examining, KFF, this keeps talking about KFF, and that's the Kaiser Family Foundation. And they're a pretty reliable organization, middle of the road. I don't think they have an axe to grind. So they are the ones who actually put this article together. This analysis builds on previous Kaiser Family Foundation work by examining beneficiaries' knowledge and the behavior related to the Medicare open enrollment period based on an analysis of the 2018 Medicare Current Beneficiary Survey. the most recent year available. All reported results are statistically significant. The findings in this survey, more than half, 57% of Medicare beneficiaries do not review or compare coverage options annually. And let's see, there's a chart here and everything. In 2018, 43% of all Medicare beneficiaries reported that they review or compare their coverage options at least once every year. And 57% reported that they do not review or compare options annually. This latter group includes 24% who never compare their coverage options, 22% who rarely compare their options, 8% who compare once every few years, and 3% who compared only once when they first signed up for Medicare or for their prescription drug plan. And then there's a nice little chart illustrating what I've just told you verbally. I'm sure you had a mental picture of this chart. So a larger share of Medicare beneficiaries who are older with lower income, lower education levels, and in fair or poor health do not compare their coverage options annually compared to beneficiaries overall. That's what they call you on Medicare. You're a beneficiary, like you're on welfare. I don't like that term, but I'm stuck with it because that's what they use in this article. So, two-thirds of Medicare beneficiaries age 85 or older reported they do not review coverage options annually, compared to 56% ages 65 to 74. As many as 33% of people age 85. How do you like all these numbers, ladies and gentlemen? 33% of people that are 85 or older say they never review their coverage options. A larger share of Medicare beneficiaries with incomes less than $10,000 a year say they do not review coverage options annually than compared to people with incomes of more than $40,000. So nearly two-thirds of Medicare beneficiaries with less than a high school education reported not reviewing coverage options, compared to a larger percentage with bachelor's degrees or higher that do compare their coverage options. So, you know, that's a lengthy way of saying that people who are poor, uneducated, or old are not to be bothered with, or they're not confident of their ability to accurately compare their coverage options. Seems to me that there's room for improvement here. The federal government or insurance companies in general, or perhaps a young boy with an itchy book writing finger could do something to remove some of the angst and confusion that these people see. Well, unfortunately, they're not in the world that I'm in, which is Medicare supplements. They're in the world of Medicare Advantage plans, and that's just not a world I want to live in. So more points from the article, a larger share of beneficiaries in fair or poor health reported they do not review coverage options annually. And let's see, people in traditional Medicare said they do not review coverage options annually. Why not? Because they don't need to. Traditional Medicare doesn't change. Medicare supplements do not change. There is no reason, once you have a Medicare supplement that you're happy with, there is no reason for you to review your coverages annually or any other time. And in fact, the oddball thing is that there are so many ads and so many people advising that people review their coverages annually that I've had clients purchase from me when they turn 65. They buy a Medicare supplement and a drug plan. And then a few months later, they'll start getting all these TV ads with J.J. Walker and the Joe Namath advertising, and they'll be flapping their arms around. And my clients will call me and say, hey, it's that time of year. I'm supposed to review my options. And I have to say, no, I told you, you never have to review your options, except maybe your drug plan. If your drugs change, and then it comes around to AEP in October, then we can take a look at your drug plan and see if there might be a cheaper one for you. But that's the only thing. You don't need to worry about your medical coverage because it's going to be good forever if you have a Medicare supplement plan. It's just so simple. So anyway, in 2018, 61% of beneficiaries in traditional Medicare said they do not review coverages annually. Well, those are the smart people. They don't need to review their coverages if they're in Medicare with a Medicare supplement. So one in three Medicare beneficiaries report difficulty understanding the program or comparing coverage options. One third of people have trouble understanding or comparing coverage options. While most people on Medicare say it was very easy or somewhat easy, to understand Medicare program. That's about almost 70%. About one in three people with Medicare overall say that the Medicare program was somewhat difficult or very difficult to understand, with larger shares for specific subgroups. So basically, a larger share of Medicare beneficiaries under the age of 65 with long-term disabilities reported it was somewhat or very difficult to understand. A lot of people are confused by Medicare. And when you're confused, you're not going to examine your particular Medicare coverage with an eye towards improving it if it's too much trouble or not easily understood. So one then has to rely on the advice or the hopefully the experience of an advisor. See, and I act as an agent and advisor to a lot of people, but I steer them towards Medicare supplement plans, and that's something that they never have to review ever again. So this article is a little bit, it confuses Medicare supplement, where you don't have to do anything, with Medicare Advantage, which you should be examining with a very critical eye, because likely something's going to go bad on that Medicare Advantage plan and cause you unhappiness down the road. It may not be soon, but it may happen down the road that your doctor will leave the plan, or your they listed all that stuff up front. Your drug plan could change, and drugs that you take could be covered with a large deductible. All of a sudden, they can just make those changes and leave you out in the cold. And unless you learn about them and carefully read the documents they send you at the end of the year, it's called an ANOC, an annual notice of change, you're not going to find out until it's too late, and you'll be stuck with that plan for all of the following year. So it says here, most Medicare beneficiaries do not use Medicare's official information sources. What are those sources? The Medicare website. More than one third of people say they had never visited the Medicare website. A larger share, 44% had never visited Medicare.gov, and the remainder reported they did not. Well, I don't blame these people. I mean, Jesus, that's not exactly the most exciting activity. I'd rather, carve a whistle and learn how to play music from something that I, or maybe make a slingshot out of a stick or something. But boy, hanging around the government Medicare website is not the most exciting or fun activity that I would expect people to enjoy. Half of all Medicare beneficiaries reported they had read thoroughly or some parts of the Medicare and You handbook. Well, I'll tell you that the new one just came out for 2022. That's a tough read. And I'm sure a lot of you in the audience have received your copy of the Medicare and You handbook. Start with the cover. What a bunch of weirdos are pictured on the cover. I don't have one in front of me now, but when I first looked at it, I cringed. I was thinking about ripping the cover off of it, but then I wouldn't know what book it was when I needed to refer to it for research. So one third of Medicare beneficiaries reported they had not read that book at all. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, my God, that's going to be a really tough read. If you decide to sit down with that thing, it's 300 and some pages, and your head's going to be spinning. If you're not an alcoholic now, it may turn you into one. So the marketplace of Medicare private plans operates on the premise that people with Medicare will compare plans to select the best source of coverage, given their individual needs and circumstances. Past analysis by the Kaiser Family Foundation, based on focus groups, has revealed that many Medicare beneficiaries know about the open enrollment period, are generally aware that they should compare plans, but find the process of comparing plans challenging. Ooh, a diplomat wrote this. This analysis, based on survey data, finds that most beneficiaries do not compare coverage options each year. In fact, nearly half never or rarely compare their Medicare health coverage options. We also find that the very people who have the most at stake during the open enrollment period, such as those in relatively poor health, are least likely to compare their plan options, which can lead to unanticipated outcomes, such as higher out-of-pocket costs. Moreover, a relatively small share of beneficiaries uses Medicare's official information resources, which are designed to support informed decision-making. With a growing number of Medicare private plan choices available each year, the fact that such a large share of seniors, and I hate that, and people with disabilities are not comparing coverage options each year warrants attention, meaning it should be fixed, because the government or whoever has made it difficult for people to compare their options, so they don't do it. Nothing surprising there. So that's it, Randy. I'm tired of being disappointed by my fellow man.
I understand, Doug. I was just going to mention something, though, while you were describing all of that. I wanted you to kind of walk through my Medicare process. You know, I'm on a supplemental plan.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to walk through my process every year for comparing my coverage. So each year I go, okay, what's covered by my plan? Has anything changed? Nope. And then at the end of next year, I look and I have, let's see, what's covered on my plan? Anything changed? Nope.
and your work is done. Your work is done.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I would liken the Medicare Advantage world to like three card Monty.
Yes, because you never know what they're going to screw around with.
I know.
And if you buy a Medicare Advantage plan, it's got all these moving parts and you like it maybe when you buy it, or you can overlook its shortcomings. But then next year, they're going to say, well, you know something, we're going to mess with this. We're going to save a few bucks by not giving you the kind of benefits that you thought you were going to get. We're going to pare them back, P-A-R-E. We're going to remove some of the things that you liked when you enrolled in this plan. And after a few years, the thing could completely be inappropriate for you and make you completely miserable, but you still might be too lazy to change.
Well, there's that. Bottom line is if the government or if the government's involved with anything and gives you like every chance in the world to change it, get rid of it, say you're sorry and go back, they're doing that for a reason.
Oh, yeah. They're not really looking out for your best interests for the most part.
No. They just hope you ignore it until it goes away.
Right. On the other hand, depending on the political party, it could be that they're bribing you to vote for them. And as soon as that voting occurs, and bang, they slap your hand and say, no more for you.
No more soup for you.
That's right. So anyway, let's go enjoy the weekend, shall we?
Yes, we have used our time. I think we used our time wisely today.
Well, I hope the audience thinks so.
But we need to thank them. Send them on their way to Amazon to buy the book, whether it's the black and white version or the full color version. Amazon's got the black and white. Barnes & Noble's got the full color. And then there's a myriad of other options in terms of Amazon buying Doug's book. So get over there. Promise me you're going to go buy one, Amazon.com. And one other thing I was going to mention is when I started the podcast today, when I got in the studio, there was a big alligator tear running down Doug's cheek.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. You're going to expose my alligator tears now, huh?
Yes. And you know why that was? That was because he hasn't gotten enough mailbag activity.
Oh, that's true. So many people are going to your website, the website that you created, and they're just clicking on their questionnaire, which says, basically, do you want a quote? And they fill out a few questions and send it off. And we don't really get the interesting stories that used to appear in the mailbag.
Well, at a certain level, Doug, and you're the one that identified this first, we metaphorically say shot ourselves in the foot there.
Yeah, we sure did. But on the other hand, if you read between the lines with some of the requests, you can understand some of their personal trials and tribulations. And frankly, I do have a stack here that I can share with the audience. One of these episodes coming up, perhaps.
Cool. So those of you who have not corresponded with Doug, you can reach him at dbj at mlmmailbag.com.
There you go. That's the place. So thank you for joining us. We always enjoy having you hang around and listen in. So hopefully you'll be doing that with us for a long time to come.
Yeah. And today, as with previous days, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. And he's the one guy that knows where all the red dirt is at in that state.
There's a lot of it, too. Bye-bye, everyone.